Chapter 20. Grisina had told me about the ancient Greeks and their fondness for athletic contests, but I couldn't imagine how the dragons would compete. I wondered if all their contests involved fire. After flying back down the side of the mountain, Ralph carried us into the same main tunnel where we'd met his grandfather, then turned into the first branching tunnel we encountered. Hot air met us like an invisible wall, but the ointment kept us from feeling much more than a slight change in temperature. It was dark inside, perhaps too hot for the fungus that illuminated the other caves. Flying through a network of connecting tunnels, we entered a cave filled with bats and another that reeked so badly it gave me a headache. Edric said that it smelled like trolls, so I was glad we weren't on foot. When we finally emerged from the last tunnel, we found ourselves in an enormous bowl-shaped arena open to the sky. With a level floor and high rock walls, it was the perfect spot for a gathering of dragons. It was hotter than inside the tunnel, and I could see why when Ralph flew up onto a small ledge so we could look around. A bubbling pool of red liquid seethed in the center of the arena, the air above it wavering in the rising heat. "What is that?" I asked Ralph. The little dragon glanced at the scarlet pool.
"That's lava, liquid rock. My dad likes to swim in it."
"Edric, did you hear that?" I asked, but he wasn't paying attention. His face had turned a paler green, and his eyes looked like they were about to jump out of his head. I followed his gaze back to the floor and understood why. There must have been at least 10 times the number of dragons than there are people in my father's castle, with more dragons arriving all the time. I studied the dragons, hoping to see a green one, but none of their colors was even close. This seemed to reinforce what the Dragon King had told us, yet I couldn't stop hoping that Edric was right, that the old dragon really didn't know everything, and that a rare green dragon might still show up. At first, I thought the dragons were just milling about, but as I watched, I noticed a purpose to their movements. While a few dragons darted across the floor on errands of their own, most were heading toward the low stone walls that defined the fields of competition. Only a short distance from where we sat, athletes raced around an oval with other dragons standing by, watching. A roar went up when a yellow dragon passed a blue one, a sound that would have been terrifying if I'd heard it anywhere else. A little farther away, dragons wearing armbands ran back and forth between brightly colored tents. Each tent was big enough to fit at least 20 grown dragons, although I never saw more than a few enter at once. I couldn't read the symbols on their banners, so I had no idea what they stood for. But when I saw an injured dragon carried into one tent, I assumed that it housed a healer. I grabbed hold of Ralph's ridge when a gust of heated air almost knocked me off his back. Looking up, I saw 6 dragons chasing one another around the giant bowl, flying faster than any bird ever could. A pink cloud floated above the flying dragons, distorting my view of the mountains surrounding the arena, making them seem closer than farther away. I turned to watch the dragons in the oval ring again. When one of the racers flamed, a small pink cloud formed in the air above him. The smell of boiled cabbage drifted by, reminding me of the magic miasma. "Ralph," I said, "does anyone use this arena when the Olympics aren't going on?"
"Sure. Lots of dragons come here to practice. My mother comes here almost every day. It's one of the reasons we live where we do."
I heard shouting and glanced down at the crowd directly below us. A group of giants had arrived, carrying baskets filled with skinny brown pods and long purple peppers. The dragons seemed eager to get at the baskets, following the giants to a low ledge carved into the far wall. When the giants emptied the contents onto the ledge, the dragons lined up behind them and helped themselves to the food.
"Those are flamers," said Ralph, pointing to the eating dragons. "They're stoking themselves with gunga beans and hot flammy peppers. Those peppers are one of the reasons the Olympics are held here. Gunga beans will grow just about anywhere, but flammy peppers grow only in volcanic ash."
"Why do the flamers like them so much?"
If you combine big batches of them and mix them with a dragon's digestive juices, you get the best flames in the world. My mother eats them all the time. The beans are okay, but the peppers are too bitter for me. Look, there's my mother. Let's go down so I can introduce you.
Taking a step forward, Ralph dropped off the ledge and glided across the arena above the heads of the walking dragons. There were more giants here now, and Ralph had to swerve around them while trying to keep his mother in sight. The giants were sweating profusely, the huge drops that beaded their faces dripping onto the ground and anyone unfortunate enough to be standing nearby. Neither the dragons nor the giants seemed to mind, although some of the drops were as big across as my father's shield.
"What color are your mother's scales?" I asked Ralph as we approached the group of flamers.
"Red. My father's scales are blue like mine, although his are a lot darker. I hope mine get dark like his when I'm older."
"Hey, Ralphie!"
called a voice from behind us. An enormous blue-black dragon, only a little smaller than the Dragon King, was trotting toward us from the direction of the lava pool. His head was huge, his eyes deep-set and shadowed by jutting ridges. When he opened his mouth to talk, I saw a long, forked tongue and teeth so brilliantly white they didn't seem real.
"Hi, Papa," said the little dragon.
With a bounce in his step, Ralph bounded across the rock floor to the larger dragon's side.
"Where's Mama? I thought I saw her."
"She had to get ready. The competition is starting soon, and she was afraid you weren't going to make it in time, so she asked me to find you. Are these friends of yours?"
When the dragon leaned down to get a better look at us, Edric dug his fingers into my arms.
"They sure are,"
Ralph said, a hint of pride in his voice.
"The little one in the front is Emma. The bigger one in the back is Edric. Don't worry, they don't bite."
Ralph's father snorted.
"That's good. I don't think I want to know a biting frog."
When Grumblebelly picked up his son and set him on his shoulders, Edric and I clung to Ralph's ridge, wobbling back and forth until we were dizzy. Pushing his way through the crowd, the big dragon headed to the area set up for the distance flame-belching contest. The next contestant, a large yellow dragon, was lumbering up to the line when we arrived. Nodding to a black dragon wearing an armband, he took a few deep breaths and belched a flame half as long as the field.
"Huh,"
said Ralph's father.
"Not bad."
A murmur went up from the crowd when the next athlete came forward. A slender dragon with red scales verging on magenta, she looked very feminine, with a refined head and delicate features.
"That's my mother," Ralph said.
Edric ducked, knocking his head against mine when Ralph's father reached up and patted his son on the back.
"Hold still, Ralph. You don't want to distract her."
When his mother began her series of deep breaths, Ralph's wings stiffened, and I could feel his muscles tense beneath us.
"Here we go," his father whispered. "Come on, Snorty, you can do it."
Taking one last breath, Ralph's mother opened her mouth and raised her wings, sweeping them back as a flame nearly as long as the field shot from between her gaping jaws. The flame was hot, glowing white where it left her mouth, fading through yellow and orange to red where its tip licked the rocky ground. The crowd cheered wildly as the black dragon raced to the end of the field before Snorty's flame died down. The noise drowned out the announcement of her distance, but it was obvious that she had won.
"Next year they're going to have to lengthen the field just for her, aren't they?"
An older dragon with rust-red scales bellowed to Ralph's father.
"Sure looks that way,"
the huge blue dragon agreed.
"No knight would stand a chance against her," Edric whispered into my eardrum.
It was impossible to get through the crowd, so we waited for his mother at the side of the field. She disappeared behind some of the bigger dragons. Then suddenly she was beside us, reaching for Ralph.
"I knew you could do it,"
Ralph shouted, flinging himself at her.
"Ralphie,"
she said, sitting back on her haunches as she caught him.
"How did you like it?" "You were super, Mama. You're the best."
His mother laughed and fondled the ridge atop his head. Turning toward the larger dragon, she smiled.
"And what about you, Grumblekins?
You were great, Hot Lips,
the big dragon said. Edric snorted, and I poked him in the stomach with my elbow. Laughing at your hosts is not a good idea, especially when they're dragons.
Guys,
Ralph said, covering his eyes with his wing,
do you have to do that now? You're embarrassing me.
His mother laughed again and looked down at Ralph, noticing us for the first time.
You must be the frogs who were searching for a green dragon. My father told me about you. Any luck yet?
Edric shook his head. Not so far.
Why don't you three go look around?
She suggested, gesturing with her wingtip to encompass the entire arena.
It will be a while before they announce who won. Perhaps you'll get lucky and find your green dragon.
That sounds like fun,
Ralph said, squirming out of his mother's grasp.
Roar for me when the ceremony's going to start.
Leaving his parents behind, Ralph flew across the arena, looking for a place to land. While the little dragon studied the crowded fields, Edric whispered into my eardrum,
what did you think of his parents?
They're nice, I whispered back, but I don't think they take us very seriously.
Edric glanced at a passing deep purple dragon. Long and lean, the dragon had a surly expression on his face and wary eyes that probably didn't miss much.
I don't mind, said Edric. In fact, I think it's better this way. I'd rather be ignored as a frog than eaten as a human.